Chapter 3. A Shock. That day, Miles travelled from his school by carriage to the village, and I went with Flora in our small carriage to collect him. Mrs. Gross was right in what she had said about Miles. When I met him, I was indeed carried away by the little gentleman. He was even more beautiful than Flora. There was something about him, a kind of innocence, which made me feel that he knew nothing in the world but love. By the time we returned to Bligh, I felt angry and confused about the horrible letter from the headmaster, which I had locked in one of the cupboards in my room. As soon as I could talk to Mrs. Gross privately, I said, "I cannot believe it!" She immediately understood me.
"You're talking about what was said in the letter," she replied.
"Yes," I said. "Look at him, Mrs. Gross." She smiled because she understood how I felt about his charm.
"Miss, I look at him all the time, and he can't have any faults," she said. "What will you do about answering the letter then?"
"I will do nothing at all," I replied.
"And what will you say to his uncle?" she asked.
My answer was very clear. "Nothing at all."
"And will you say anything to Miles?" she asked.
I was proud of myself when I answered, "Nothing at all."
"Well then," she said, "we'll go through this together."
I took the hand that she held out to me, and after we had hugged like sisters, I felt stronger. I was ready to go on with my new job. When I look back on that lovely summer, I am surprised to remember how easily I believed that I could take charge of the situation. I did not doubt that I could take charge of a boy whose real education was just starting. I cannot remember now how I made it clear that Miles was going to have his lessons with me. And it seems to me now that, during those summer weeks, I was the one learning lessons. For the first time in my life, away from my family home in my father's small country parsonage, I learned to enjoy myself. It was the first time that I had had space around me. I felt free. And I felt that I heard all the music of summer and all the mystery of nature. The children were cheerful and healthy and gave me no trouble, so I expected no trouble. Thinking about that summer now, I can see that what happened later has made me remember it as a charming and peaceful time. Then, when trouble came, it felt like I was being attacked by a wild animal. My favourite time of the day, what I used to call my own hour, came after my pupils had eaten a meal and gone to bed. I loved the children, but I loved even more to walk around the garden and park and listen to the birds as the daylight faded. At that time, it felt as though Bligh belonged to me. I used to think how I was making my employer happy, if he ever thought of me. I used to dream of him being there, on the path in front of me as I turned a corner. I wanted to see his handsome face smiling at me. But my dream did not go any further than that. I only wanted him to know what I was doing and approve of it. One evening, it suddenly seemed as though that dream had become real. I saw him. He was not on the path in front of me, but high up on top of one of Bligh's towers. I remember gasping with shock, first because I saw my employer there, and then because I realised that it was not my employer, but a stranger. As I write this, it is as if I am in that moment again. The evening sounds stopped, even the sounds of the birds in the tall trees. It was as if death had appeared. I cannot remember now how much time passed while that man stared at me. But his eyes never left me as he walked along the flat roof of the tower. I cannot say how long I walked in the park after this, shivering, confused and frightened. Was there a secret at Bly of the kind one reads about in books? A mad relative who was usually kept in a locked room? I remember that it was dark when I went back into the house. I was nervous and anxious. But this was only the beginning of those feelings, which were going to become so much worse. Almost immediately, I met Mrs. Gross in the brightly lit hall with its pictures and warm red carpet. I could see that she had missed me and had been a little troubled. But now I was back, she was cheerful. I found that I did not want to alarm her then by talking about my experience. In the hours and days that followed, I thought about the man on the tower. I was not more anxious than I could bear then, but I was frightened of my anxiety increasing in the future. The truth was that I could think of no reason why the man had been there. But after 3 days, I decided that he was a traveller, someone interested in old houses, who had got into Bly without asking anyone. My lessons with the lovely children made me feel better as time passed, although I worried sometimes about Miles not being allowed to return to his school. He never spoke about it, nor did he mention any of his friends or teachers. His behaviour was so good that I did not believe he could do anything wrong. I was under the children's spell, and I even knew that I was. Then, one Sunday morning, the weather was too bad for us to go to church in the village near Bly as we usually did. It became better during the day, and Mrs. Gross and I decided to go to church together in the evening. Coming downstairs to meet Mrs. Gross in the hall, I remembered that I had left my gloves in the dining room. I had mended them there earlier as the children ate their tea. They were on a chair by the large window, and as I went to pick them up, I received a terrible shock. There was a man staring through the window at me, the man who I had seen standing at the top of the tower. He was on the terrace with his face close to the glass. He looked at me for a few seconds, which was long enough for me to realise that he recognised me. It was as if I had looked at him many times and had always known him. But then his eyes moved away from mine as he looked around the room, and I knew that he was looking for someone. I was brave. Quickly, I ran out of the house and around a corner of the building to the dining room window. But my visitor was not there. I cannot remember now how long I stood there. I knew as I looked round the garden and beyond it into the park that both places were empty. Was he there, or was he not there? He was not there if I did not see him. For some reason, I felt as if I had to stand on the terrace as he had stood, with my face close to the glass. At that moment, Mrs. Gross did what I had done so recently and came into the room from the hall. I gave her a shock like the one I had received. Her face went pale, and I wondered if my face had been as white as hers. She stared, then turned and ran out of the room. I knew she was coming out of the house to meet me. I stayed where I was, and while I waited, I thought of many things. But mostly I thought, why was she so frightened?